Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Sydney Torres here. Dave Cohen right in there. You see him and look through the window. They're waving at each other. It's radio. They could say hello. Both of them.
Hey, Big Dave. Big Dave. And thank you, Tommy.
You know, I'm an idiot, Dave, but I just realized that the IV came from, an IV waste came from because he's Sydney Torres the fourth. I know it takes a while for me. But by God, once I got it, I got it. I'm going to tell you what, once I get it, I know, I understand that, but it takes a while, but once I have it for life. That's the thing, okay? So where'd the IV come from? I'm just kidding. So I'm in the French Quarter at Garland Robinette's art show on Saturday night, and I see at St. Anne and Royal a sign on a balcony that says, "Keep IV Waste." Now, of all the things, that just struck me, Sydney, because of all the things that you would see on a French Quarter balcony, you wouldn't think a sign supporting a garbage company would be one of them. But I think that speaks to the job that you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to give the credit to my team. Yes, I'm the leader of the team, but, you know, they put their heart and soul every day in going out there and going the extra mile. You know, for example, when they're picking up trash, after they're finished cleaning the French Quarter, they go and they start weeding in between the sidewalks and pulling grass and, you know, doing extra from what the
do you get that out of your people?
You know, like last night.
I shouldn't say your people, your team members.
My team members. I'm one of them. And I work alongside of them last night. I went out on Sunday night and I met them on shift change. And when I got there, I got to speak with each one of them coming in. They were all packing up their garbage cans and getting ready to go in for the night. And I handed out to each one of them a $20 bill and thanked them for the day. I know that's not a lot, but I mean,
no,
it's
that
just,
means the world.
Yeah.
That.
And so I had the cash and I was walking to each one, giving them a $20 bill. I like,
but do you know what that means? And I'm just telling you this because I'm not Sydney Torres. I'm the guy that would be on the other end of it. Okay. That's how I grew up and everything. That means the world, because not only is the boss there at shift change to show his appreciation, but he's like, you know what? Hey, get a six pack on the way home or whatever the hell $20 will buy today. And that I can tell you from being on the other end of that means the world.
Well, I think to me, I want to always thank them and show my appreciation, whether I'm out there working with them or financially showing them and making sure that they have the right uniforms, new uniforms, clean uniforms, and being able to talk to them and ask them.
I would bet you even care if they fit the uniforms, don't you?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. They have to. We want them to look like it's perfect. And I don't want to say military because some people
have issues with
the military coming here. But
you play like you dress, and it all lends itself to how you do your job, right?
Correct. I mean, I think just because it's garbage doesn't mean it can't be, clean, sexy, take pride in it, look nice, and very professional. And that's what we strive for, is to make sure that our people feel well in what they do and look good and give them the tools they need to do their job.
How do you keep the truck so clean?
We wash them every day. I have a crew of people. We spend about $250,000 a year washing all of our equipment with a set of guys that work really hard, men and women, not just men, that work really hard to clean the outside as well as the inside.
How often do you go to shift change and things like that?
I try to go as often as possible. I mean, I'm definitely out there on all the big special events, working hand in hand with them, you know, running equipment or helping them sweep up or, you know, logistics and on the radio.
You're what? You're out there with a broom.
Oh, I love
it. Or a shovel or anything else.
Whatever I got to do to get it clean on time and show that, you know, we can do this together. We're going to do this. Let's get it up. I think it's important. You know, as far as the garbage trucks go, we have over 150 employees and, you know, we run a lot of trucks, full-time and part-time around 200, and we run about 127 heavy trucks. We pick up about 90%, a little less than 90% of the city of New Orleans, everything from the lake to the river, from the Jefferson Parish line. And you know, we work really hard to do what we do and try to do the best at it.
I'm going to be careful what sports analogy I choose here because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Are you guys the Yankees of trash collection? Do you have people clamoring to work for you?
Absolutely. We get a lot of emails through the website. I shouldn't say this on the radio, but I get blind copied on every email that comes through in customer service because I want to see, you know, whether it's one can in Gentilly or it's the, you know, whole city contract sanitation director. I want everybody to get that first class service. And if we do something where we missed a can or we didn't pick up bulk waste or somebody has a special pickup like a treadmill or, you know, they want to put out tires with rims or, you know, I like to make sure that we communicate to them quickly and let them know exactly what needs to happen and then follow up the next day to make sure that it actually gets done.
I want to talk about you because you look like you could be a rock star. You look like you could be a movie star, and I mean that in the most manly way possible. Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, to get all that stuff out the way, but you do. And to think that you are in the waste business just amazes me. But I want to talk about the business part of it first. And that involves the city and this thing that's coming up this week. I'm confused about where we are on all of this because it seems to me just again, being on the other side of it, that it's one of those deals where it's working. Everybody's happy. Going back to the sign that I saw at St. Anne and Royal Street, keep IV waste. Everybody nobody has a problem with this except for a few, and then they got to screw it up. Is that a misrepresentation of what's going on that?
Yeah, well, first off, I want to thank you for your kind words.
I think it's true. I'm just saying that's what the public says. Well, you don't pick up my garbage, but I wish you did.
Well, I appreciate it, and my team really appreciates it, and I share with them all the time these comments.
Let me take a second. They do a great job in Plaquemines. I have no complaints with Plaquemines, so I shouldn't have said that. They do a great job, but that being said, I can see where others would wish that you picked up their trash.
Absolutely. Look, you know, we really try to pay attention. Always say devil's in the details, but this situation with putting this out to bid is, to me, I think it's a waste of city money and time and energy. The sanitation director asked me would I honor my low bid price. I said yes.
This is the mayor's sanitation director, right?
Correct.
The administration's sanitation director comes to you and says.
He says yes. He called me. He said, this was about a month ago. He says, would you honor the low bid price? Because I was the lowest bid on the emergency contract. He said, would you honor the low bid price if we renew it for 6 months? We've got Sugar Bowl. We got New Year's Eve. Mardi Gras early this year. It's a hard lift for anybody to have that amount of equipment ready to clean. There's a new mayor coming in. Would you honor the low bid price? I said, absolutely. I didn't have to think about it. I said, absolutely. No problem. I know the city has a deficit. We'll honor the low bid price. So he said that. I said, well, how's this going to work? He says, well, the legal department has given the blessing that we can do a 6 month extension, and the CAO is okay with it. So we're going to go to the mayor with it. So about 4 weeks went by, and I was at City Hall on another issue with the recycling. And at the city council chambers, and the sanitation director was there. He says, you got a minute? Can we walk outside? And we walked outside, and he tells me, sorry to tell you, but the mayor says absolutely not. She wants it to go out to bid with an RFP. And I'm like, okay, nope, we're going to bid on it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at the end of the day, why go through the gymnastics and do all that? But I don't know. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to move forward and put the bid in, so hopefully it's graded properly.
So where does the French Quarter Management District fit in all of this?
Well, last week they had a meeting, and they're prepared if it goes another direction that they're going to step in and extend my bid that I put in with them that I won. They never did have to activate it because the Supreme Court, you know, jumped in and granted the writ and allowed us to move forward under the current emergency contract that ends December 23rd. I know it's a lot to unpack, but I'm trying to
I understand that. So let me ask you this. So for the person that has the Keep IV Waste on their balcony on St. Anne and Royal or close to that, you're going to be picking up the garbage one way or the other, either with the French Quarter Management District or the RFP?
That's the way that it looks right now. I think that they're prepared if you know, it goes another way, that they're prepared to keep the level of services that they're getting right now. Look, this is not an easy contract. People can say what they want and say, oh, they can do it. But there were people doing it before and they were not getting the compliments and they were not happy with the services that they were getting. And the reason why is because they don't have the tools to do it. They're not willing to invest the money in the tools to do it. And the management structure that they've had or had didn't work. I mean,
so let me ask you this. With all of that being said, how can you be the low bidder?
Well, we own a lot of the equipment already because we have over 10,000 customers. We service St. Bernard, Harahan, and we have, like I said, 90% of New Orleans. We have an incredible service shop with mechanic trucks.
So it's
and
economies
parts.
Of scale.
It's
kind of
economies
thing?
Of scale, and having the right technicians and the right. It's just like a team, a football team, a basketball team. Mm-hmm. It's who's your players and who's your coach, and does the ownership put the money into the people that they need to? And we do. I mean, like our equipment, we have over $4 million of equipment that we upgraded and bought. Some of it we already owned to do the French Quarter contract. It was only a year contract. And so it's not like we're making any money off of the first year with all the money we spent, but the amount of advertising and great being able to show what we can do on stage in the French Quarter gives us the ability to grow our company just like we did when we did it after Katrina.
All right. Give me top five celebrities you've been hanging out with lately.
Well, I mean, obviously, Lenny and I have been friends since I was 12. So we live next door and I have a resort in the Bahamas. So his place is right next to my house.
I have a resort in the Bahamas. I've never seen you guys down there.
Well, I usually see him a lot there. So we're still friends. And he actually endorsed Helena. He did a really good video for Helena because he met her. He liked her and he knew her from before, thought she would be great for the city of New Orleans. So I was able to get him to do that. But he's a good friend and he does things that are good for the city. He loves the city of New Orleans. And he had a house here. He's actually looking to get.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Get another house here. He loves
right,
it so much.
That's one. Give me four other celebrities that you've been hobnobbing with.
Bobby's Kid Rock has been a friend of mine for some time, really close to my mother. They have a great relationship. So he's been over the years very close with them. But I don't want to sit here and brag about all the people.
No, I don't want you to brag. I asked you a question. I just want to know what kind of circle you hang with. See if maybe you and I might have, you know, like Venn diagrams where we're hanging out with the same people. Who else?
Well, you know, when you meet friends, when you have friends that are in the business, they know other friends and you become friends with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, my buddy Randy Gerber, who's married to Cindy Crawford, my brother was the godfather of one of his sons, and he's a good friend. I don't consider they're all friends. I don't say celebrities. So
how about Dwayne Boudreaux? You know,
I don't know. Introduce me to Dwayne.
I was hanging out with him over the weekend.
Right, and then you know, I mean, look. At the end of the day,
you know, Tim Zimmer in there. I was hanging out with Tim.
Hey Tim.
Sitting yeah.
But no, it's. I got to give it to Lenny over the years, hanging around him and being around people. I learned a lot how to market. How to do advertising and, you know, branding, all that stuff, being around him, but doing it in my own way, you know. And everybody learns from somebody, right? You pick up, I'm sure, Tommy, you got people that learn from you and go off and...
Oh, I don't know about all that. Let's not get crazy. 9:22, we're going to take a break. We come back. I want to talk about you as a kid when you're 6, 7 years old, where, you know, your family's got a history in St. Bernard Parish, but how did you not wind up in a law firm? Because it seems as though... A lot of your family is in law, right?
That's right. I deal with enough lawyers, I think.
Is that it? All right. I just want to know when you were 7 years old, where'd you go to school? I want to find out about how Sidney Torres went from there to here.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? And I make this example seriously where, you know, when you talk about crime in the city or this or that or the other thing, we're all in our bassinets at Baptist Hospital, wherever, right?
That's right.
So we're all equal, right,
That's
at that
right.
point. And at some point, something happens where some of us are blessed, some of us get breaks, some of us go here, some of us take advantage of breaks, some of us don't have the breaks, and then that's how we all wind up where we are as adults. We'll pick it up. We come back. Sidney Torres going up close and personal with him. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 9:30 going up close in person with Sidney Torres IV, IV, the CEO of IV Waste. We're talking off the air. One thing that we have in common, I lost my brother. My brother was older than I was, and I lost him later in life. And I miss him every day because he was, man, he should have this job, honestly. He was the funnier one. He was the smarter one. And I feel guilty about that sometimes. Tell me about the brother you lost.
Yeah, you makes me choke up a little bit about that because my brother was the same way. Mm-hmm. He was the outgoing one. When you were down, he was there. Even if he was in California, before you know it, he's back here trying to take you to do something to make you forget about it. He was very smart. He wanted to be a lawyer. He actually was going to law school. And he could argue with anyone. So whenever he get into a debate, you just back down because you know he's going to win.
Going to win anyway.
He's going to win anyway. But we were born on the same day, 1 year apart.
No kidding.
Yeah, his name was Anthony Randazzo Torres. The bakery Randazzo is my great grandfather. That's why they named him that. But Anthony Randazzo Torres. He was a really good brother. And like I said, we spent a lot of time together. He was with me in the beginning stages of SDT after Katrina. He was helpful with going out marketing the business and going out and getting new contracts and things. But I miss him every day. And I think about him every birthday I have. We share the same birthday together. We were 1 year apart.
When's your birthday?
August 27th, 1975.
Okay. August the 11th. Do you still talk to him? I talk to mine all the time.
I do. And the hardest times I talk to him because, and you know, a lot of people say they can hear the voice. I don't hear the voice, but I see things that happen that cause me to realize that he's there with me.
I don't talk to mine in the toughest of times. I talk to him in the funniest of times because he was just, man, he could make me laugh like you wouldn't believe. And it just... Rather than be maudlin about it, I think I just celebrate his life, and I'm not criticizing what you do. I'm just saying everybody has their own relationship, and with me, it was just comedy. It was just humor. The funniest things that I can remember, the best times I had were with him. It really was. His name was Gerard, by the way, and I miss him.
Gerard. My brother, I got to tell you, if I was going through a breakup, and especially like in a breakup or anything like that, he would be the first one to throw a party and have a bunch of people over. But it wasn't just that. He was there for me at tough times, and he was always, you know, it was a car accident. He was driving from Slidell. You remember how when you're coming across after you pass the twin span, the interstate there used to be very bumpy.
Oh, yeah.
And there was two police officers sitting underneath the overpass, and it was raining a little bit, and he was on, I think he was playing, messing with his phone. When he looked up, he saw the two police officers. It was raining. They were undercover under the overpass, and he didn't want to hit them, so he veered off from them and ran into the pole.
I'm so sorry.
He's with me every day. He's with me right now.
Yeah.
So
as is mine. Gerard, meet
Yeah,
Tony, you're right. So you mentioned Randazzo, and I can remember, you know, Choctaw used to be in Algiers, and we'd take the ferry to go get king cakes from Randazzo's. That was before the big king cake explosion. How did you not get in the king cake business? How did you avoid that?
Well, you know, there was the brothers. It was my grandmother who was the clerk of court, Lena Randazzo Torres. She was in there from 1939, and she died at 100 years old. She was my rock, and she, her father started Randazzo's Bakery with his three sons, and it was in Lower St. Bernard where they started, and it was called, I think it was Good Friends Bakery, Bakery, and then it became Randazzo's Bakery, and then now the brothers' kids opened up their own, one in St. Tammany, one in Jefferson Parish, and they do very well with it. They mail out the king cakes all over during king cake season, and I think they actually close during the regular time of year because they do so well for king cake season.
Yeah, they get pretty good life going.
Pretty good thing going there. But I never did, you know, they were that family was in that, and I can tell you I ate a lot of donuts and king cakes when I was younger, but never did get into it.
Were you ever overweight in your life?
Oh, yeah. I had a little chunky,
really?
Chunky stage. Oh, yeah.
Because you don't have an extra pound on you now. Tell me about growing up. What did you want to be when you were growing up? 7, 8 years old? Those kind of things.
You know, my mom told the story, and I hear this all the time, and I've seen pictures too. I'm a clean freak. Like, I'm a neat freak. I don't like clutter. I like everything, you know, clean, simple. My counters, I don't want anything on them. I used to go around the house with a towel and a Windex bottle and cleaning the...
straighten up here while Sydney talks.
Cleaning windows and I used to love cutting grass and going outside and being...
The instant gratification of it?
I did. Okay. I really did. Like, to see, you know, something overgrown or dirty and then having it clean. And I used to love seeing the garbage truck come by in the morning. That's why when we get these parents that call us and say...
Really? How old were you?
I used to run outside and bring those little Miller Lite ponies. I'd be like... the guy name was Garvey. I'd say, Garvey, hold on. And I'd bring out these little Michelob ponies. And my mom would always say, they can't drink while they're... What? No, I said, he's going to drink it when he finishes
it. How old were you when you had this?
Oh, probably 7, 8. No kidding. You know, running outside, bring him in a little Miller Lite pony. And Garvey was his name. But I don't know. For some reason, I love like manual labor and doing things that you see instant gratification where you see it overgrown or dirty and it's clean or the grass is cut. And I just had a liking for that. I loved doing mechanic work. I used to, you know, take things apart, put them back together. So, you know, at the end of the day, I never did really want to be a lawyer. My dad was a lawyer. I wasn't big in sitting there studying and reading books. I'm dyslexic, so I struggled in school. And when I was coming up, people didn't realize what dyslexia was. They thought, you know, oh, he needs to be in a smaller class and he can't read. But I learned how to, just like Tom Cruise, and there's a bunch of people that have had dyslexia that learn how to process and deal with it. And so it's, I think I did all right.
Yeah, I think you did too. See, when I was like 5, and this is not about me, it's about you, but I was in a supermarket and they had an attic hatch. And I heard the music in the store, the Muzak being played, and I thought somebody in my 5-year-old mind was up in there playing the music, and I thought, you know what, that'd be a good job to have. So at 5, I kind of figured out that I wanted to be on the radio, and it's interesting to hear you say that at 7, it's not a surprise to see that you are where you are now, right? I mean, because you were running out to the garbage trucks when you were 7, and you were appreciating the work that they did, right?
I agree, and I tell people all the time that I mentor, because I mentor a few people each year, or you know, and I always tell them, find your passion. If you don't know what you want to do, you might do a few things before you actually find out what you're gonna do, but you want to find stuff that you love doing. You don't do it just for the money. I mean, you know, I've been very blessed, and I've done very well with my real estate and hotels and the other garbage company that I sold. I do what I do today because I love it. I love this city. I could live anywhere, but I love this city and I love doing what I'm doing. And I think, you know, it's important that we mentor and help get other people like that. Like, for example, Larry Morrow with Morrow's Hospitality. I remember when he came to me, I helped him and mentored him. And now he's one of the largest restaurant owners here in the city as far as what he's doing in his hospitality business. And I'm so proud of him. I think it's important that you try different things when you're growing up and figure out what you love to do and do it. I had a little stint.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And radio too. When I went to, after I graduated high school, I went to Baton Rouge at the Tiger.
Did you?
107, okay. Yeah. The Tiger.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing? I was jocking music?
Yeah, DJing the graveyard shift.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of Sidney Torres. What was your name? Did you use Sidney Torres?
I did, yes. I used Sidney Torres.
Give me a little bit of it right here. Tim, find me some classic rock, can you? Find me some Stairway to Heaven here. Yes, let Sidney talk it up and see how he does. Let's see how we do. This is the we're going to call it the Tiger WWL 870. When we're ready, Tim. Got it. Here we go. Roll it. Hit it.
1007 the Tiger. Good
evening.
You put me on the spot. As you can hear the instruments in this song. I can't do it. Thanks for joining us tonight, and please come back tomorrow.
Yeah, this will get your night going here. Do some snuggling Led Zeppelin here on WWL 870.
Look at you. You do it. See,
you never lose it.
Give me a garbage truck and
exactly
I can jump on
right,
the back.
But I couldn't do the garbage thing. All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. You are you're a man of faith, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So do you think this is what the good Lord intended you to do?
I do. I do. I think that the good Lord has a plan for all of us, and sometimes it's sooner than later. I think we go through, you know, trials and tribulations, and we have to learn how to, as I saw De Niro say one time, when things are good, be cool. When things are bad, be cool. Just be cool. And I know that sounds so easy, or I'm saying it so easy, but it's not easy to do. But I do believe if you have faith, you can have a stairway to heaven.
Did you? Yeah, there you go. He saved it at the end. Sidney Torres will be back, WWL. 9:46, 14 till 10, going up close and personal with Sidney Torres. I'm trying to combine the big picture, the little picture here. So you went to high school where?
I went to high school in Connecticut, Marblewood.
And before that?
Before that, De La Salle.
All right, so you go to high school in Connecticut, then you go to college where?
I went to college at LSU for a minute, not long, and that's when I started working at 107 The Tiger.
Do you have a college degree or not?
I don't.
Really?
No.
No kidding. There you go.
I have a degree of hard knocks.
You got a degree in the school of life. I quit 10 years, college 10 years. I went to the school of life, and I think it did me as much good as it did, actually, the degree did.
Amen.
Tell me about your faith and how important that is to you, if you don't mind.
It's very important. You know, I've gone through, you know, periods where I go really hard into it and reading the Bible and doing, you know, going, because I don't know how to do things halfway. I always like to go all the way. And mm-hmm. And there's a balance, you know, in faith where you can live life and enjoy life, but also practice what's your faith is and live by it. And so, you know, as I get older, I just turned 50. I'm learning how to
get the hell out. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I'm
learning how to wake up in the morning and take a minute to thank God for everything and throughout the day. And when I go to bed at night and just be blessed for all the things I have. And, you know, people think, oh, well, you got all this stuff. It's, you know, when you have as many people and things that I'm dealing with on a daily basis, you want to treat everyone in a way that is, to me, That's through faith and how you treat people. You know, treat people like you want to be treated. That's why I always say, you know, when I watch people attack people, I always say, you can attack the idea, you can debate on the issue, but don't start attacking the person personally, because that's when you lose all credibility and nothing gets done.
You know, I'm not trying to proselytize here, but it's like this little light of mine, I got to let it shine. That goes to your mentoring people as well, right? Because you know that, going to what I said before about we're all in our bassinet at Baptist Hospital and some of us go one way, some of us go the other. I know that I would not be here were I not exposed to the different things where I had a break here, I had a break there, I had a break somewhere else. I'm not foolish enough to think that I'm a self-made man, because I know I'm not. I know I had a lot of benefits a lot of other people didn't have, and maybe to my credit, I did take advantage of them, but maybe I was in a position because of something else I was exposed to take advantage of them. Give me your thoughts on all of that.
I mean, look, I have a close friend that's in faith too, and he always says, you know, things that you've done in the past that you don't feel good about, do something good for somebody else to make up for that as you go through life. And, you know, a lot of people don't know, but, and I've talked about this before, I had a heroin problem when I was younger. Mm. And really being on the road and being in that rock and roll lifestyle, you know, I was exposed to a lot of things and you know, got involved in with the wrong people. And it's only because of the grace of God I was able to get sober and get off, and because it's one of the hardest things to get off of. And, you know, for me, it's taught me a lot. And one of the biggest things it's taught me is my management always says, why are you giving him a fifth chance, a sixth chance? Why are you doing this? Why? And I'll give somebody more chances than anybody else, because I can relate to the struggle, whether it's the guy in the back of the truck, the guy in the truck, you know, the manager, whoever it is. I always believe people should have chances, and I believe in giving more than just a second and a third. And it's hard sometimes because people take advantage of that, but I believe that if you do it through the faith and you do it because you believe it's the right thing to do, you can save someone.
What kind of chance do you think the city has with the new mayor and, well, we don't know what the council is going to look like yet, but some of the people that are on the council now?
I'm super excited. I think it's going to be great. I think the city has a lot ahead of it in a positive way. I think Helena is going to be a great leader. She cares about the city. Her heart's in it. She's a great communicator. She's surrounding herself with really good people. I think as long as she continues to do that, I think she's going to have a very good success rate with everything she tries to tackle. She's going to have some ups and downs. I mean, just like anybody does in business. I think JP Morrell is a great council member. I think he calls it like it is. Whether you like it or not, sometimes mm-hmm. he tells you what he thinks.
And as Joe Geruso said, bombastic.
Oh yeah. JP, I can tell you, man, he's going to tell you what he's thinking. Right. He's not going to sugarcoat it. I think the other council, Eugene Green, Leslie Harris, Freddie King, those guys are going to be great. And you got, Matthew Willard, who's going to be, he's taking Helena's spot. I think he's going to be great. If they all work together, Helena's a good.
You got one seat left.
Yeah, they got the one in the east. And also Uptown. It's Holly and Amy are running. But
those are Joe Geruso's people.
They all work together. So okay. I think Joe's staying out of it. Right. But I mean, we'll see what happens in that. I think it's going to be interesting.
I guess I'm talking about the coaching tree, if you want to look at it that way, coming
correct.
From Joe Geruso.
Correct. And anybody that comes under Joe is going to be great, because Joe's an amazing guy. And you know, sad to see him go, but you know, who knows, he might pop up somewhere else, because he's very talented and he's honest, and he's another one that's going to call it like it is. I can call Joe, and if Joe's busy, he will always text me back and say, hey, I'll get to you in an hour or 2 hours. And sure enough, he calls right when he says he's going to call. To me, that's really important.
What impresses me so much about him is nothing just happens. I don't have to tell you this, whether it's chairs at a PTA meeting or whatever it is, nothing just happens. And you got to be a policy wonk at times. You got to understand the mechanism, right? You talk about taking things apart and putting them together. It's no different in government, is it?
That's right. That's right. You got to know exactly what you're doing before you take it apart.
And know
how to put it back together. And if you don't, you need to have the right people around you that can help you when you do take it apart to put it back together.
Along those lines, you know, we talked about immediate gratification. I don't think it's realistic for people to look to Helena Moreno and the council and expect immediate gratification. This is not as easy as, and I'm not trying to say what you do is easy, but it's not the same as picking up a garbage can or that kind of thing, or cutting the grass or anything like that.
I agree with you 100%. But the biggest thing that we have going for us with this new group is that they all are going to communicate, be on the same page, work together to get things done. And I think that's very important. You have to work together, the mayor's office and the council, to get things done. And as long as they can work together and communicate behind the curtain and in front of the curtain and not, you know, make it personal, I think we have a lot ahead of us.
Man, you took the words right out of my mouth, because you talked about you can criticize the idea but not the people. And the idea I get with the mayor and the council is that that's exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get, hopefully, articulate, informed discussion about policy and not personal attacks.
Amen to that.
Any Amen final thoughts, Sydney?
No, I just think we all need to, like you said, it's going to take time. There's a lot to do. This is an old city, old infrastructure. And I think, like I said, we're all going to have patience. But I think that Helena is going to get some wins out the gate. And I think we're going to be very surprised when she steps up to the plate.
All right, before you go, drop that name that we talked about off the air that you hang out with sometimes.
Denzel Washington.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we'll take a break and come back. Thank you, Sydney. A pleasure. Come back sometime, all right?
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Sydney Torres, we'll take a break, come back, find out what Newell's got planned today on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.